Reformed Church.
There is a biblical concept, right, that says that which is sown cannot have life unless it dies, right? So that which is sown cannot have life unless it dies. So that means that there is no new life without death, right? So if we were given new life, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about that old things are passed away. That is death, right? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There is no such thing as Christians today having new life without the old passing away. There's no way to have new life without there having been death, right? So if we indeed really truly have this newness of life, and we indeed can walk in this newness of life, then we had to have died at some point, right? Otherwise, if there was not a death, if in other words, if what we receive when we receive the Spirit of God was not death and life, right, then there is no new life, right? Because when we were baptized by the Spirit of God, we received death and we received life. If there was no death, then there is no newness of life. So that is then to come maybe one day, right? But if we truly have received life from the dead, right? If we received resurrection life, if we died and were given new life, then what we're doing actively, or what our life should consist of, is us receiving from that resurrection that we have on the inside of us, right? That we would receive, that we would become partakers of that resurrection, right? And then what happens is, as you partake of that resurrection, the same principle still applies. There is no life without death. In other words, there is no activity of God without the deeds of the body being put to death. There's no life without death, right? So we can't have the power of God working in our lives and yet still be very active from a carnal sense, right? The more active that you are carnally, the less of the life of God that you're going to see active in your life, right? So that's why the scripture talks about putting to death the deeds of the body. If we put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit, we will what? We'll live. Why? Because that which is sown cannot have life unless it dies, right? So we know that the body is dead because of sin, right? Today, this body is dead because of sin, but it can have life, right? The Spirit of God in us can give life to our mortal bodies, right? So we can have life from the dead, right? When we take advantage of the rest that we have. So let's go to Colossians, like we said. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 20. And let's go to a New King James. It says, therefore, if you died with Christ... So you know that if you died with Christ, he's going to be talking about life in a second, right? Because that which lives, right, you have new life because there was an old, right? You have new life because there is an old life, right? You have new life because there is an old that has passed away. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why as living in the world do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. So what he's talking about there, if we died with Christ and are living in the world, right, we're alive in this world today by the power of God, right? We can live by the power of God in this world. Why while we're living in this world do we subject ourselves to the very things that we died to, right? It says, if you died with Christ to the basic principles of the world, the basic principles of the world are fleshly things. In other words, speaking of the law, right? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, right? So he's saying, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why as though living in the world do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. Then verse 23 says, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. They are of no value. So here's the thing. It is impossible for us to receive life from carnal works, right? There is no walking in newness of life by physical works, by physical actions, by keeping of the law. There is no keeping of the law and somehow you end up with life, right? In other words, there are things, and let me see actually if I can find this for you real quick here. Well, maybe we'll go there in a second. But there are things that people do because they desire life, right? In other words, they're trying to escape corruption in this world. So there are things that they do, things that they try to put their body through. Right, to deny their body certain things, whether it be food, whether it be neglect for, I don't know. I mean, when I think about like neglect of the body, I always think of like ways that people are always trying to discipline their body. So the thought is that if I can discipline my body, right, I can prosper. But there is no real prosperity, right? There is no real prosperity from just mere carnal actions, right? By carnal attempts never lead to everlasting life coming out of you, right? The only thing that brings about grace and peace, right? The only thing that brings about what we have on the inside of us is the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. In other words, the knowing of what he's done and the reliance upon what he's done. But the reason why that is that way is because when I grow in the knowledge of what he's done, in essence, what I'm actually doing is as I grow in knowledge, I'm relying more on what he's done and not relying on myself. That in effectively, I'm resting, right? When I'm growing in the knowledge of what he's done, I'm saying, Lord, you did what I could not do. Therefore, why would I try to perfect myself? Why would I try to do this on my own? But as long as we try to, as long as people are still trying to achieve some kind of a result in their lives, right? People that don't, I mean, all Christians, right, don't, and people probably in general, right, don't like to see death in their life, don't want to see corruption in their life, don't want to see decay in their lives, right? But how do people go about getting out of the circle of corruption in the world? How do people get out of the fear of death? How do people get out of sickness, disease? How is it that people are looking to alleviate the cycle of sin and death in the world, right? And some people don't even acknowledge the fact that death came from sin and they just talk about death, right? But the point is everybody wants to get out of that cycle, right? But there is only one mediator, right, that came, that took us out of that cycle. In other words, that took our sin, that came and took the suffering of death in order that we might live, right? He came explicitly. He said, I have come to do what I did so that you can have life and so that you can have life abundantly. In other words, I came to take you out of that cycle. I came to take the punishment for your sin so that I could take your death. So if I died, you could become conformed to my death. Now that's a funny thing to say, right? Because it's not understood well, that Christ died and he says, if you can become conformed to my death, you will live. If you can become acquainted and receive both my death and my life. If you receive my death, you will receive my life. If you know that the sin that I took was your sin, then effectively the death that I took was your death. So if I took your sin and I took your death, and you consider that the death that I took was the death for your sin, right? Then the life that I now live, right, can be your life, right? I can, in other words, The life that Jesus has today, he received through the same principle, right? That which is sown does not live lest it dies. So he died and then was raised to new life by the glory of the Father. If we receive the same death, right, then we will receive and live in the same life. But there is no receiving life without death. So that is essentially salvation. We were saved through death to life. Right, we were saved through the death of faith, right, in the suffering of Christ, his death, right, and we received then his death and his present day life. So for us, the process that we went through was death through life, death and then life, right? He says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let's look again where we were in, let's jump over to, let's do this. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and look at verse number 8. Right? We looked at this also last time. He says, yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, right? I count all things as loss. In other words, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Death to life, right? Death to life. He says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. In other words, that's rest. Not having my own righteousness. I'm not trying to work myself to become righteous. I learned what Jesus did and what he suffered through his actions and through his work and the life that he received. And now that through his death, I can have the same life. So it's not through my own righteousness, my work, but instead my rest, right? In other words, we rest from our own self-righteousness when we receive and understand the finished work of Jesus Christ that gave him life and effectively then gives us life. So he says, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, in other words, the law of works, not by my works, right? Ephesians 2 talks about that, right? Not of my works, lest any man should boast. He said, and being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So he says, it's not through my own righteousness, but it's just through faith. That's rest, right? Rest, inactivity. He says the righteous, let's read that again. Verse number 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness, which is from God by faith, that I may know him. Listen, verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. So that's a mouthful there. But what he says is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So for us to be able to know the sufferings of Christ and then to know the power of his resurrection, that through his death, right, through his death, he received resurrection from the dead, and that we, through his suffering of death, receive the same resurrection from the dead. In other words, we receive death and then life. So here's the context. If what happened to us, this new creation that we became this new creation through resurrection, right? From death to life. Who we are today, the new creation that we've been made, was through death, right, unto life. So if who we are today is from death to life, how does this outside match our inside? If who we are inside was through death unto life, in other words, who we are inside was through the resurrection life of God, right? In other words, it was through his death unto life, the same, we received the exact same way, through death unto life. So how do we manifest the life of God even now, or even if we don't grow in our knowledge, even in the last day? It happens through the exact same way. It happens through death unto life. What? Let me show you something real quick. 1 Corinthians 15:35, and this is talking about in one respect. I believe there's two things that we can clearly see here, but this is talking about how will our body basically be made new, right? That's kind of what the context is here. It says, but someone will say in verse 35, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? He says, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. In other words, that's a really cool principle, right? That life does not come before death, right? That which is, and you'll see it later, that which is spiritual does not come first, but that comes second, right? That which is carnal is first, and then that which is spiritual. You'll see it in a second. Verse 35 says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? In verse 36, it says, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. In other words, what he's saying is what you sow is not the exact same thing that comes out, right? You don't sow an earthly body and then you reap an earthly body, right? You sow an earthly body. In other words, the earthly body is swallowed up by immortality. So the earthly body that is sown is then raised a spiritual body, speaking of believers, right? So he says in verse 37 again, and what you sow, you do not sow the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh, verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies or heavenly bodies and terrestrial bodies, right? That's the comparison that we have, right? We live today in terrestrial bodies, but we will have a celestial body or a heavenly body, right? He said, there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Today, the glory that we have on the inside of us is a heavenly glory. In other words, that is the glory of God, right? The glory that we have in us is the glory of God, right? Since we have in us today the glory of God, that is a celestial glory. That is the glory of God in heaven, right? So what type of body is it that we're going to have? We're going to have a heavenly body. How could we have a heavenly body? Because we have a heavenly glory, right? So what is in us is going to come out, right? So we don't have to receive a heavenly glory, right? We have or possess already a heavenly glory. What hasn't happened is that our body has not been glorified, but we have been glorified. Our body has not been glorified. So that's a really cool way for you to see it, the way we've seen before. Like, where is our heavenly body going to come from? Well, you're kind of saying it while you're saying it. A heavenly body. You're saying a celestial body. So the question is, where the kind of answer that the Lord has shown us here is a celestial body comes from the celestial. It comes from heaven. A heavenly body comes from heaven. Well, it goes even in line again with we having heaven in us. In other words, the glory that we have in us is a heavenly glory. Therefore, heaven is on the inside of us. And one day, heaven in us will be completely on the outside, right? Completely on the outside, fully through the knowledge of that which is heavenly, right? Don't you remember also the Lord says, don't think about earthly things, but think about heavenly things. What is he talking about? He says, think celestial things, not terrestrial things. Don't think terrestrial, think celestial. Don't think earthly, think heavenly. Don't think about just things on the earth. Think about things that where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's what? That's heavenly. So the Lord is saying, see, behold, right? What does he say? Behold the what? The glory of the Lord. Behold a heavenly glory, and you'll see that you're beholding your heavenly glory, right? The glory that we have in us is a heavenly glory. When you behold the glory of the Lord, you're beholding what? A heavenly glory. If you behold a heavenly glory, you're beholding the heavenly glory that you are. The only thing that you're not beholding when you look at him is your earthly body. You can't see your earthly body in Christ, right? Because the earthly, right, there is a difference. There is a celestial body and there is a heavenly body. There is a terrestrial glory and there is a heavenly glory. You can't look at Jesus and see terrestrial glory. You will see heavenly glory. So that's what, since we have a heavenly glory, when you see him, what are you seeing? You're seeing the heavenly glory of God, right? Let's read verse 40 again. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. He said, just like I just explained to you, he's saying, so also, he says, is the resurrection of the dead. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. In other words, what was sown that dies is not raised up terrestrial, right? Instead, it's raised up in glory. He's saying, so also is the resurrection of the dead. So he's saying, this is how resurrection of the dead works. The body is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. When you rest from physical works, you're resting from that which is weak, right? When you rest from carnal activity, you are resting from that which is weak. And if you rest from that which is weak, right, what is working in you then is powerful, right, and no longer weak, right? That's why he says that the power may be of God and not of us. If the power is of us, that is weak. That's weak power. That is weak strength. That's no strength at all. He says that's of no value, right? But when we put to death the deeds of the body, when in other words, as we continue to grow in the knowledge of what he's done, the understanding of the fact that he did what we could not do, he accomplished what we could not do, he is the vine, we are the branches, a branch can do no good thing without the vine, we can do nothing of value without the vine, then what happens? Effectively, then you begin to rest. And then the power becomes of God and not of you, right? What you begin to experience in your life, that is resurrection life, right? Life from the dead. You begin to experience in this mortal body, life from the dead. What do we have on the inside of us? Life from the dead, right? We died, right? And our life today is hidden in Christ, right? He says, In verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. As it is written, listen to this, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit, right? So in other words, look at verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural and afterward the spiritual. What he's saying is there is first death and then there is life. That's how life is seen and works for us outwardly now. The body is already dead because of sin. If we don't use this dead stuff, right? If we don't succumb or subject ourselves to things that are dead or dying, but instead subject ourselves, right, to the knowledge of God, we subject ourselves to our new creation. We begin to live by the power of God on the inside of us, and we begin to walk in the Spirit, right? Well, how do you walk in the Spirit? The only way to be able to walk in the Spirit is to, that's why he says, put to death the deeds of the body, because the life that is in you only comes out through resurrection. The life that is in you only works out here through resurrection. In other words, everything in you works through resurrection, life from the dead, right? Everything out here is going to work the same way through resurrection, life from the dead, right? So in other words, if we put the death, the deeds of the body, there's the death, what will happen? We will live. If you put the death, the deeds of the body, you receive the life of God on the inside of you. But if the only way to put the death, the deeds of the body, the only way to manifest the death that we have already received is through what? It's through the knowledge of what he did. The suffering of, in other words, the only way for us to receive is to understand the suffering of Christ. See, that's why he says the suffering of Christ and the glory that follow. Without the suffering of Christ, there's no glory. Without the suffering of Christ, there's no glory, right? So the way Christ is today is through his death, right? So through resurrection, right? The process that we're calling it, right, is resurrection, life from the dead. How did that happen? Because of his suffering, right? Through his suffering came his life. It's the same exact way that it works for us outwardly today, right? Let me show you a couple things that might tie in with this. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 8. It says, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, He says, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again? Listen to what he says. How is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? So in other words, what he's saying is, he says, after you have come and understood that everything that you possess today came through the suffering of Christ, right? And by the understanding of the suffering of Christ, he came into glory. So by the understanding of the suffering of Christ, by the suffering of Christ, he came into glory. By the our understanding, right, our growing in the knowledge of that suffering, we come into his same glory. In other words, we come into that same celestial glory, right? We come into that newness of life that he has today, right? That heavenly glory that we possess today, right? So after we went through that already, and we have come, received resurrection from the dead, right? How is it then that the very thing that you put down, the very thing that you were resurrected from, you go back and return to the same thing that you were raised from? In other words, watch what he says. And I'll show you what I just said there, that putting down in Galatians chapter 2. But in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 9, he says, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? In other words, not turning to the power of God, but to that which is weak. To that which is poor, the beggarly elements. That which is poor, that which is of no value, that which can never ever produce life. He's saying, why would you go back to that which didn't work? Why would you go back to that which is of no value? Why do you go back to that which prospers nothing, right? But instead, if you know that the way you came into the heavenly glory that you possess was through the knowledge of the suffering of Christ, why not continue to grow in the knowledge of that same suffering, so that you can continue? When we're walking in this newness of life, you're actually walking in rest. When you're walking in the newness of life, you're actually walking in inactivity, right? You're walking in inactivity. In other words, it's no longer I that live, inactivity, but Christ that lives in me, God's power and his activity, right? In other words, you're walking in your death. You're walking in the life of God. You're walking in the knowledge of what he did. If he died, then I am also conformed to that same death, right? He died my death. I'm conformed to that same death. And if I am conformed to that same death, then surely I also have his life, right? If he had life from the dead, then I have life from the dead, right? Because the death that he died was my death, right? Therefore, if he is alive after taking the punishment for my death, the punishment for my sin, I should say, right? Then I can also walk in that same life. He says, how is it that you turn again then to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Meaning you were once in bondage. Do you want to be, are you looking to be in bondage again? He says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Let me show you. Let me take you to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 16. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, you came into life, right? You came into life through rest. You came into life through death, which death you received through the knowledge of Christ. That's the only way that old things were passed away is through the knowledge of Christ. The only way that old things are actually truly already passed away was through the knowledge of Christ. You can't manifest that reality that you live in, that old things have truly passed away, through any other way other than through the knowledge of what actually happened, right? I know we talk a lot about the knowledge of Christ, but what we're talking about is the knowledge of what has actually happened. You can't live out what has happened to you without the knowledge of what happened to you. You cannot live out what you possess, what has actually already happened to you, right? We are already raised from the dead, right? This body has not been raised from the dead, but we are alive from the dead, right? We died and our life is hidden with Christ in God, right? So we are alive from the dead. That means we have received resurrection life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new is resurrection life. You cannot live out resurrection life without the knowledge of what how you obtained it in the first place. So after you are assured of what you have and how you've obtained it and why you have it and why you possess it, right, you begin to be able to live that out because you're living out the truth of what you possess. It's not just simply just acknowledging stuff in your mind, talking about, yeah, I really believe that my life came from God, that I really believe that Jesus, that you did this or that. It's the knowledge of what you already possess. In other words, what he has already done, not what he's going to do. Not what he's going to do to you through the knowledge of what you learn, but what has already actually happened, truthfully already occurred. You can receive from heaven on the inside of you, and that salvation that you already possess can be worked out of you if you understand what has happened to you. But if it hasn't happened to you yet, then you can't receive it because it hasn't happened yet, right? You can't receive from thin air, right? If it hasn't occurred, then you don't have it, therefore you can't partake of it, right? But if we are actually partakers, to partake of something means it's present and you're taking from it. If you have already resurrection life, then you can take from that resurrection life. If you have a heavenly glory, then you can receive from that heavenly glory. That is why we can receive life to our mortal body, dead, right, already because of sin. We can receive life to our mortal body by the spirit that's in us, by the glory that is in us. We will be fully glorified one day, but the process by which we receive that glory outwardly today, that life outwardly today, is through the exact same process, the understanding of how we have what we have today, right? The understanding of what we have today. I think we were in verse 16, so let's read 16 again. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. I mean, that statement in and of itself right there reads rest, right? I'm not justified. I wasn't justified, Lord, by what I did. Therefore, everything that I received, watch, this is the truth of what we're saying about ourselves. Everything that I received, God, I received from what you did. Therefore, right, we cannot manifest anything outwardly by what we do. Everything that we have on the inside is by what he did. You cannot get life on the outside by what you do, right? That doesn't even make any sense. If everything you receive because of what he did, then you can't manifest what he did based on what you do. What you do has absolutely nothing to do with what you received. What you do today or did in the past has nothing to do with what you have received. Therefore, the only way to manifest the truth of what you have in you is to know the truth, right? This may seem, I don't know, a little convoluted to people, but it's crystal clear in my mind, right? You can't receive outwardly, you can't manifest outwardly, right? What you have received inwardly a different way or by a different means, right? The same way you came through faith in Jesus Christ in his finished work, in other words, based on everything that he did, is how you receive the celestial glory, the heavenly glory that's on the inside of you, is the same way it's going to be manifest on the outside, through the same knowledge. When your knowledge is full about what has happened, you will manifest fully, right? When your knowledge is partial about what has happened to you, then your manifestation is going to be partial, right? It's just that clean cut and dry. Verse 17 says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, right? If while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. It says, for if I build again, or if I put down, right? If I build again, not to put down, that's to build up. If I build again, or if I reconstruct, right? If I build again that which I destroyed, if I build again that which I put down, right? If, in other words, what I put down was my own works, right? What I put down was my own works. If I build that up again, right? If I build again what I put down, if I build again what I put down, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, people make themselves a transgressor of the law when they revert back to trying to live by the law. Because if you try to live by the law, you have to keep the law fully. So people can't be in both camps, trying to be justified by faith right? And then at the same time, trying to be justified by their works, right? It doesn't work both ways. It only works one single way, right? It only works one single way. You don't get justified by Christ and then also get justified through the law, right? You either build up again the law and then you die condemned, right? Or you receive salvation through only Jesus Christ, right? That's how we were actually saved, right? We put down the works of the flesh. We said, we can't, Lord, you did. We can't, you did. You did what I could never do. You did what I could never do. Effectively then, you rested from your own labors. You rested from your own works, right? So when you rest from your own works, now that resting from our own works is what brought us salvation. We can manifest that rest. Like you can, that can be a reality out here. Manifest rest, right? Manifesting rest is ceasing, right, from the works of the body. In other words, ceasing from your own activity, trying to improve your life in the year to come by doing some kind of stupid New Year's resolution, thinking that that's going to bring about change. It is a falsehood, right? To think that any change, that any transformation occurs, right, by fleshly means. Listen, corruption does not yield life, right? Corruption does not yield life, never. There is no such thing as death yielding life, right? If carnal mindedness leads to death, always. Carnal mindedness leads to death. Spiritual mindedness leads to life. There is no such thing as you thinking that carnal attempts are ever going to bring prosperity in life. It doesn't work like that, right? You only ever reap corruption, right? That's the only thing you will ever reap is just corruption, right? But if we say, you know what, just the same way we were saved, we're saying, okay, Lord, what I have in me and what happened to me in actuality, I want to see that manifest outwardly in my life. The cool thing is it happens the exact same way and through the same means. I know it seems oversimplified, right, to tell people that the same way you were saved, that same way continue to live. But the thing is, that's the only way that it works, right? That which is heavenly came into you through only one means and one means alone, and that was through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is no way ever in heaven and earth, right, that you will manifest that which is that heavenly glory in you outwardly any other way other than through the way that you received it, right? Because all that you're really doing is growing in the knowledge of the reality of what has already occurred. That's why we always talk about what Jesus has already done, right? What Jesus has already done. Through the knowledge of what Jesus has already done, we enter into what we have today. You cannot manifest what you have entered into inwardly. You can't enter into that outwardly any other way than through the same exact knowledge, right? Through the same exact knowledge. Through the same exact knowledge. Thank you, Jesus. I think we were in 18, for if I build again those things which I destroyed or those things which I laid down, I make myself a transgressor of the law, right? If I try to live by the law, right, I'm going to break the law on a regular basis and I'm making myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, right? Here he's going to mention again, resurrection from the dead. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, that's death, right? It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I, sorry, that first part is the reality of what has occurred in you. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. That's the truth. That's a reality of every single Christian around the world, right? It's no longer them that live, but it's Christ that lives in them, right? They were crucified with Christ. It's no longer they that live, but Christ that lives in them. And then it says, and the life that I now live, right, in the flesh, I live it by faith in the Son of God. So the way that you received that initial death is the same way he says that's how you live now, by faith. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. And that's when he gets into, we won't go into it today, but that's where he gets into in Galatians chapter 3, and he begins to call the Galatians foolish. He says, how is it that you haven't begun by the Spirit, you're now trying to be perfected by the flesh, right? In other words, it makes no sense to having received celestial glory, but living by the power of the beggarly poor things of the world. Possessing the glory of the celestial and living as though the only glory that we have is terrestrial, right? In other words, we have the glory of the celestial and we're living and thinking, right, like terrestrial, like carnal people, like earthly men, right? But he says, but you, yet the glory that is in you is heavenly. So that's why he says that we would then be heavenly minded then. That we would then be heavenly minded. Let's go real quick and let's wrap up in Romans chapter 8. In verse number 13. He says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. And that's just simple, right? That there is no such thing, like I said before, as corruption ever yielding life, right? If you live by terrestrial means, by beggarly elements of this world. That beggarly elements of the world is by terrestrial principles, right? If you live by earthly principles only ever end in death, because there is no such thing as earthly principles leading to life. There's no life in earthly things, right? Carnal mindedness is death, right? So he says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit you put to death, right? If by the Spirit you put to death. So if there is death, then there is life, right? If there is death, then there is life. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And we had talked about this, right? But it's such a cool thing. We have already received the spirit of adoption, right? That means that we have been made sons, and there is an adoption that still remains, which is the adoption that we'll receive is the adoption of this body. In other words, this body will also become heavenly, right? Just as we have received the heavenly glory. But it's a cool thing not just to think about, I have this heavenly glory, but the thing is, how did you receive that heavenly glory? The knowledge of the fact that you have a heavenly glory, in other words, mental assent to the fact that what you have in you is heavenly, is not sufficient, right? In and of itself is not enough, right? The knowledge of why you have that heavenly glory, that's where it's at, right? Because when you know that the heavenly glory that you have is because of the suffering of Christ, then what that does is it puts everything that you have received in you based on what he did. And the constant understanding, the growing in the understanding of death to life, the growing of the understanding of how that happened is what will make you manifest the reality of what you already possess on the inside of you, right? It'll come out. It'll come out all on its own, right? You don't have to make it come out. It'll come out all on its own. It's not like we have received this heavenly glory, and then as we grow in the knowledge of something, God keeps giving us stuff. That's not how it works. You're receiving from the inside of what you already have. What is inside comes out. How does it come out? By growing in the same way that got it in you in the first place, right? Growing more and more in the reality of what you already possess and why you possess it. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.